Hot round! Red 7, Red 7, Red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Hot round!
I don't. What is hot round?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Billy Bob! This is it! The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame-ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch. Nom, 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 nom.
I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you going to get me the
ball? I'll get you the ball. I
hope he didn't kill somebody.
When we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the difference between winning and losing. Yeah! Between living and dying.
Yeah! I got a whole lot of money. Y'all it for me. Bottle keep popping that water, man. Y'all jacking. Yeah! It's a party. It's a party. It's a party.
Welcome in to 11 Personnel. Nick Roush and Adam Luckett are back from Athens, where the Cats did not get the victory, but it was still, all in all, a solid trip. If you couldn't tell, my voice is still a little shot, Luckett, from our weekend. Maybe a little too much screaming when we were on Clayton Street.
Never a bad time in Athens, that's for sure. Clayton Street is a gem. Bounced around to our few of our spots there. Had a great time Friday night. Saturday was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Going to game day was cool, and then all the Kentucky fans being there.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty cool scene there in Athens. Big game vibe for sure.
Right, right.
And then you played the game. Kentucky, Nick, they needed to catch some breaks and play one of their best games of the season. They didn't really catch – they caught some breaks, but not enough, and then they didn't play their best game of the season. Results in a 30-13 loss. There's no moral victories, and that's a big talking point this week, but I do think there's positives you can take away from this game. Kentucky hadn't scored a touchdown in 2 years against Georgia. Three total points. I think you credit Liam Cohen with 17 points after that game, him and Will Levis.
Yeah. And really, you know what?
You could give them 21 if they make a block.
Right, right. Because, I mean, that play was – I mean, that was the perfect call.
Now, they had a short field on that, but other than that, they didn't have a short field. They put three scoring possessions together against a top defense, the best by far country, no turnovers. Georgia took away the best thing they do, which is run the football, and they still figured out some ways to move the football and have some success relative when you're going against that defense. But to me, that's a big kind of takeaway I have from this game. Kentucky had so many moments with Eddie Grant in big games where they just could not score. The Texas A&M game obviously pops in your head right away.
Right, right, right.
And there's other moments where they almost blew it, like in 2018. You almost blew having that chance to host Georgia for the SEC East Championship because of how bad you are on offense against both Vanderbilt and Missouri.
Yeah.
And so, like, Missouri only scored one offensive touchdown, and it came on a walk-off play. But you're able to win the game. There's been moments like that where they just haven't been able to score in big spots. That's why you're higher, Cohen. And I think you saw some of that. Like, I think in these big games down the road, we're all talking about like lack of receiver this week, lack of playmakers on the perimeter, depth of playmakers. But now I think you're going to have a coach and a play caller that can scheme up when you get in this next spot next year, 2 years down the road, where you're going to be able to score points on folks. And that today, like, the Georgia game was why he hired Cohen, and you saw from him that he's going to be able to put you in position to have a chance to win that game. And that was my big takeaway. On the flip side, the defense picked a bad day to have one of the worst performances of the season, over 9 yards per play. They brought a lot of six-man pressures, which was the most probably they brought all season. And they all got – pretty much all of them got sniffed out.
Oh, man. The one on the touchdown to Bowers, I mean, it never had a shot. You know,
but like even
those
then,
just got stuffed at the line. Yeah.
Good coverage. An All-American just made a play. Stetson Bennett played as well as he could play.
Yeah.
Both touchdowns to Bowers were just big time throws.
Oh man, that one Bowers, it almost hit him in the head, you know.
He was making long throws down the field in between windows and zone coverage. I mean, it is what it is. If he was going to play like that, it was just going to be tough.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
To beat them.
You needed, I think, to win this game. You mentioned being opportunistic, but you also needed Stetson Bennett to play like a backup quarterback and not like a starter. And that certainly wasn't the case on Saturday. Yeah, I think, too, like on the other side, you needed to be able to run the football some just to get you in kind of, if not be able to get those short third downs to get you in manageable situations. It did a little bit, but like, I mean, they were beating their head against the ball. Rodriguez had 7 carries for 7 yards. Like that stat line is just going to be an anomaly. And I don't know who said it or if I heard it from somewhere, but man, Georgia does a good job taking away your best players.
Yeah. Gary Danielson said it on the broadcast there towards the end of the game.
I mean, they did it with Rodriguez, and they almost – it kind of did it with Pascal, too, where Pascal was making some great plays, but then you see Bennett bootlegging out the other way, you know?
Yeah. I think when I handicapped this game, I went back last year, and I saw them. They had a lot of success running inside zone. I thought they'll be able to get push at times, crease Georgia a little bit, and Rodriguez will have success. But early in the game, it was just like you're not running inside zone on this team.
No, no.
You've got to get to the edges in the run game.
Are too damn good.
And you're behind the line of scrimmage pass game has to be extension of your ground attack in this game. And so that made it a real tough game for Chris Rodriguez. And really in the game, Smoke and McClain were kind of better options for the offense because it became a quarterback heavy game. You were going to need to throw it a lot and Levis was going to have to make some plays. And then you were going to have to get on the perimeter a little bit and sneak some runs past them. So that takes away what Kentucky does best, which is unfortunate. I thought they did some good things on offense, but it's just tough sledding. 0 plays over 16 yards.
Man, they're good.
It's hard to do. Like Kentucky was very good in situational football, 11 to 21 combined on 3rd and 4th down, which is really, really good. 3 red zone trips against the best red zone defense in college football, scored 13 points. Not great, but you got a touchdown, and a kick up, a field goal.
Yeah.
And then even that, like we talked about, even that field goal attempt, they had 2 chances. Like Wandell's made that catch all year, that diving catch.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
he just kind of lands on it, takes out his breath.
Yeah, and then play call and just didn't get Dean Bach.
And like, honestly, that play really just kind of summarizes the difference between your Georgias, Alabamas, and Ohio States of the world because – they have the guys that can make those plays. You have 3 guys that just need to get a body on one and you're scoring a touchdown, but that one guy's an All-American.
Yeah, but Georgia just like their defense is like they're even at a different world than Alabama or you know, Ohio State has defensive issues. That's not the case.
Well, Georgia now. I mean, just like that upper echelon of talent. Right. Like
Ohio State and Alabama would do that to you on offense where it's just like.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, there's somebody on the KSR live blog like, well, why can't we recruit like that? And it's like, what do you mean? Why can't we recruit like the 3 best teams in college football? Like, it's just a different playing field. They're almost playing a different sport. That's why they want to expand the college football playoff because those 4 or 5 teams are the same 4 or 5 teams every year. They're just rotating who's in it. You've had what? Michigan State and Washington are like the one-offs that have been the kind of outsiders. Every other time it's some combination. LSU. Yeah. And LSU.
LSU got hot one year.
Yeah. I mean, right. It's just this – it's really hard to do when you have that talent gap. And, yes, Kentucky's getting closer. Adding Wandell Robinson and Will Levis certainly – help breach that gap. They've gotten closer in the trenches. They've got the athletes, I think, defensively. But you have to have those big plays. You have to create some turnovers. You need the other team to play bad. And that was not happening on Saturday.
Right. Number one, I think defensively, like Kentucky's built a good defensive culture. They're legitimately, I think, a top 25 unit defensively every year. But I think that game's a sign that they're just not, like, close to that top 5 level. And so when you play good offenses, you're going to give up big plays. you got to kind of bend but don't break. The big issue with me in the game was they couldn't force Georgia really struggled in the red zone on offense this year. And they couldn't force – they were scoring on big plays. You had the two Bowers touchdowns. You had Zamir White from 25 yards out. So they scored three touchdowns without even getting to the red zone. And then they get to the red zone, and you force a fumble on one of the possessions. You know, you don't recover it, and then you force a field goal on the other. So that was disappointing that they couldn't force. But in these games, it doesn't matter. Like, even if Georgia – say Georgia was that good on offense, it's regardless. You have to score points to win these games. To beat Georgia when Kentucky's going to be at a talent deficit, you got to win in the margins. Like, you got to have the quarterback that can make some throws, and you got to have a big X receiver that can be isolated on the outside, 6'3", 6'4", and can go win on back shoulder fades, go balls, jump balls, and slants. And that can just give them problems there, and that's going to open up everything up. Now, those are low percentage kind of throws and routes, and there's only a few guys like that in college football, but there are out there. Some smaller teams do find those guys, and that's what Kentucky just – you have to get.
The other thing you mentioned, too, about UK's defense before we get too off the topic, they were good at stopping them in obvious passing situations, but they couldn't get them into it. You know,
they couldn't force third downs.
There was only seven third downs by Georgia all day, you know.
Georgia's an efficiency – they're an efficiency monster on offense. Like, after that game, Stetson Bennett leads the league in passing success rate. He's over 56%. All their running backs are over 53%, or over 50% rushing success rate. Kentucky came into this game, and they're like, we're stopping the run. We're putting a safety in the box. We're going to stop these backs, and we're going to make Bennett beat us because they're banged up at receiver. All they really have is tight ends. So we're going to take our chances with him, making him make difficult throw, 15-plus yard throws. And he just made them, and you have to tip your hat to him.
Right.
He made them over and over. It was disappointing because Kentucky did, like, the first half, they got kind of hit with a haymaker because they didn't recover that fumble. And then the next drive, they give up a bunch of big plays. They're kind of reeling, but they score. They get a stop there at the end of the half. They really have a chance there in the beginning of the third quarter. Get a stop, kind of go back and forth there. And they really had a chance to put some game pressure on Georgia. Because it was, like, there was a chance there. They could have went in, got the game into the fourth quarter within one possession potentially. All they needed probably was one score. And they couldn't do that. That was disappointing that they came out the half and couldn't get Georgia scores, boom, boom, and the game's kind of over. So that was like the defense, and that's twice against Georgia in these big games where they really couldn't stop them. Up here in Lexington in 2018, DeAndre Swift ran wild, and then this. So that's disappointing, but I think it's just more proof that you got to score in these games. Like, you want to win you're not winning this game 21-20. Right. You want to go out and win this game, you got to score 35 points. You got to score 38 points. You got to hit on chunk plays down the field. You're going to have to throw for over 300 yards to win one of these games. And so that's where Kentucky has to get, and that's Captain Obvious. I think everybody knows that. I think Mark Stoops knows that. That's why he changed. And so now it's just going to be about going out and getting that. And the only way to fix that is through recruiting.
Yeah.
But overall, I think Kentucky held up well. Like, I don't think physically they were beat down in any way. I think Georgia's offensive line had a really good game. Stetson Bennett had his best game. Mm-hmm. You just kind of have to tip your hat to him. And then you're just dealing with a monster on the other side. And I think there were some good things. And I think for Will Levis specifically, there's going to be a lot to build off from this game.
Yeah. And I think we went into this game, you know, now, even with the defenses seemingly catching up, you know, college football is still an offensive game. And you just thought that
they're not going to see a defense like this probably for the rest of the decade.
Well, and the thing was, you thought, okay, they have that Georgia defense. If you can get, like, Kentucky's defense pretty good too. You know, there's a world where this can be a 21-24, you know, you're in the low 20s kind of deal. But even then, Georgia just – they have some guys, and you have Stetson Bennett playing his best game. So, it was unfortunate because Squaren Jones and Jacquez Jones, they've been outstanding this year. I mean, they've played the anticipation, especially Jones in the past defense square against the run. He's been really great behind the line of scrimmage. I think he's got something like 7.5 tackles for loss or something like that. One of the top 10 in the league. In making plays,
Squares got three sacks, a bunch of tackles for loss,
He's been great. Stuff.
He's been great this year.
But like, man, this game, it was not their game. It just wasn't. I don't know what happened. I think some of it might have been after that mistake with the lack of fumble recovery. Maybe some of that momentum, you know, you let one mistake turn into a few. It can happen to even the most veteran of players. But when you play a team like Georgia with the running backs and tight ends, they put a ton of stress on those linebackers. And Square and Jones, they weren't at their best, and you didn't get much from Weaver or Wright either. So it was just a tough day all in all for guys that have been outstanding for you up until this point.
Yeah, and I also think, like, they're not forcing takeaways. They're having to manufacture a pass rush a little bit this year, which they have fixed from last season. The pass rush is a lot better this season. Mm-hmm. They're getting sacks. But also in the secondary, like, they had two NFL guys. So they were, the coverage was tighter when they went man and they were able to make some plays on the ball.
Yeah.
They just don't really have that this year outside of cornerback when they go man. And so that's taken away turnover opportunities. And so, I mean, it's kind of twofold there, but they're like, I mean, only West Virginia is behind them in Power Five teams and forced takeaways. And West Virginia has played one less game. So they're just not forcing turnovers this year.
Yeah, only one interception by defensive backs this year. And that was the Ty-Asian pick six versus Chattanooga.
And they've been fine, but in a game like yesterday. And I don't want to be too hard on defense because they have won this team games this year.
Right,
they won the South Carolina game. Florida is the number one yards per play offense in the SEC, and they totally shut them down. They were the reason they won that game up in Lexington. And so they have had moments and great moments this season. They got big stops late against both Missouri and Florida to win the game. But eventually, you're going to go up against an offense that is just going to move the ball on you. It's going to have a lot of success throwing it. When you get in those situations, you're just going to have to dig down and find a way to create a turnover or two to get a stop. And they just haven't been able to do that this year. So that I would look for that to be a big point of emphasis heading into this next part of the season. Going and against Mississippi State, you're going to have a defense that, or offense, excuse me, that's going to nickel and dime you. You're going to have to find a way to make some plays on some of those balls. Because if you don't, if you just give them open windows in the zone, Mississippi State is good enough and they have the personnel now with receivers. They can do that. So you're going to have to make it, and a lot of it's going to fall on that secondary, I think. And so that's just where they are, but that's kind of the weakness of the team. We thought, like, they're good at safety, but outside it's just going to be a little bit of a struggle this season. And so the lack of takeaways, I think, really hurt them against Georgia because you had to force. I thought you had to be at least plus two to really have a good chance to win that game.
Right.
Going there and playing even and combining that with no chunk plays on offense, very fortunate, I think, to only lose by 17. And that goes to show you that they were able to hang in there and play with them. They just needed – if they got a couple breaks, it could have been a different game.
Yeah, and to go to the Kentucky offense and Will Levis – Levis didn't have his best game to date, maybe, but it was still a damn good one. You know, yeah.
Statistically, it wasn't.
Right.
Like, it was probably up there with the South Carolina and Florida performances just by the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But when you watch, that's why it's important to watch these games too and to realize what happened. Drops were huge.
Seven out of his 10 incompletions were drops. Like, and I just
think, and you know, me and you were talking about in game, people talking about, you know, wanting to throw it deep, blah blah blah. Like,
first time he threw it deep, he got freaking drilled, and it was almost a strip sack.
Georgia plays really a lot of top down on defense, so like they're dropping two safeties deep. They're two safeties. They can, when teams do that, like when you see that, it's automatically checked to a run. If they're going to do that, it's a lighter box. We're going to run it. But they can get away with that because they have two freaks at defensive tackle,
mm-hmm.
an absolute monster at Mike linebacker, and then two guys around that, two seniors around those defensive tackles who are NFL players. And then two edge guys who are both former five-star recruits who both could play their way into the first round of this year's NFL draft. So it's kind of, you're just kind of damned against that. Like, you cannot throw against too deep against safeties as good as they have. Lewis Seen's the best free safety maybe in college football. When they did go deep, they had Wandale bracketed. They were able to do that because the safeties are dropping deep nearly every play. So, like, people saying that it's like hard to go deep against them.
Yeah.
You really have to attack them on like back shoulders and stuff like that on the sideline. And Kentucky doesn't have a guy that can do that. And so it makes it tough.
Yeah.
I think that's a big thing people need to realize. Like Peyton Manning was on the Monday Night Football call when the Green Bay Packers were playing the Lions, and the Lions kept putting too deep coverage, too deep safety. He's like, well, just run it. That's what you should do.
Yeah.
But you can't do that against Georgia. And they do a good job of mixing it up and blitzing.
And Rodgers
third and long
also has Davante Adams to throw back shoulders to.
Yeah.
You know,
so, I mean, it's just, it makes it tough. And so I think that's what you saw. That's why you didn't see a lot of like Levis's depth of target was probably like 5 yards in that game. That's a lot of short stuff. What you have to do is really pepper them on the perimeter, and then hopefully you can get a safety to roll down off that and then throw deep on a wheel or something. And then Kentucky had some stuff drawn up and Georgia just picked it up. I mean, it's just, they're just really good on defense. And I think Kentucky, even with that, they were able to have some success, which is good to see. And a lot of it was due to Will Levis just making some plays, stepping up in the pocket, making some tough for tight window throws, showing off a big arm and doing that with even some drops. So I think that was really impressive.
Yeah. And also to do it, like you said, with the drops, with the three straight three and outs, you know, a lot of, we've seen Kentucky teams kind of pack it up whenever the snowball starts rolling down the hill and gaining momentum on the other side. Kentucky did not flinch. That was when they saved their best work. That's the resume reel for Liam Cohen whenever he's getting his next big job. Yeah. Is that drive straight three and outs.
We've seen Jatahn McClain's value in two games.
Yes.
Hit him on the wheel route. They're on that last drive. He beats Lewis Cine, who I've just talked about. Might be the best free safety in college football on an angle route. Nearly scores. Like, he has real passing game value, and they're going to need that. And Cohen's creativity, I thought, was great. That would have been an awesome game to have Keaton Upshaw. That was really, I think, the game, one of the games where they really missed him. He would have been a matchup advantage, a little more playmaking juice than Bates and Rigg right now. And to have him on some of those throwback screens and stuff would have been very nice. And really just, like I talked about before the game, I think we're going to get in pretty early and we're going to realize Kentucky's a receiver or two away. And I think you realize that.
Mm-hmm. Which a couple of those receivers, Dane Keyes announcing next week, that could be one of your guys, your big outside playmaking guys. And then when Wandale inevitably leaves after this season, you need somebody else to fill him. And Chad Simmons had a kind of a surprisingly optimistic report on Barry and Brown for 1-3 plus subscribers. So it's only $1 for a year. So pretty sweet deal. And you get scoop like that where Simmons essentially said it's between Kentucky and Alabama. Yeah.
We still don't know who's really running that recruitment from Kentucky's side.
I think it's Cohen. I think
that's what I was going to lead to. I think it's like a team effort, but this is showing me Cohen's got some recruiting chops, which could be huge for everybody.
Hey, we need you. Come play for us. And really, that's the sell right now is like, because, do you want to sit around and wait at Alabama or do you want to come here and do some stuff?
Well, Brown, that's the outside receiver with top-notch speed, playmaking juice. We've seen them really categorize speed. You get Dekel Crowdis has got it. If you get Barry Brown, he's got it. But that, like, Dane Key is very important because he's kind of that 6'3", big body receiver that I'm talking about that can go up. It's 3rd and 11. We're throwing a back shoulder here. He's going to beat the corner to the launch point. He's going to go make a tough contested catch. 2nd and long, let's hit him. You know, they're playing us tight. Let's run a slant. That's kind of the guys I'm talking about is him. I think that's a guy he could be at the next level. And, like, he's a huge recruitment because they're getting the smaller speed guys, I think you're seeing. But you still need a big guy, a 6'2", 6'3 guy that can be physical and make tough contested catches. And hopefully they get him on October 28th because that would be huge.
It was frustrating because you would see guys flash. You know, Epps made a great catch on 3rd and long on that scoring drive. And then a few drives later, just drops one, you know, it's right there, drops one. DeMarcus Harris had a couple catches like that. And then he drops one on the sideline too, gets his feet down, and then just can't complete the catch. So,
and on all of those, like a lot of, not to hate on Hips or Harris, but a lot of those were like big time throws by Will Levis.
Yeah,
he was just,
oh, especially the one to Harris on the sideline. Like
that, he was putting it on him. Even the one in the middle there, that his drop in the second Epps had on a third down, tight window. Cohen. I don't know why I keep saying it. Levis put it right in between the eight and the one. I mean,
he made some
big throws, and that if he's hitting on throws like that, like these digs, these shots to the perimeter outside, then these deep coverage we've been seeing from defenses, they're going to have to get out of that if he starts hitting on those consistently. And if they have to get out of them, that's when you're going to see the deep shots start to come again, the bombs to Robinson sneaking behind the safety.
Yeah.
And so hopefully he can – I think this is a big moment. It's two games in a row where he really built some confidence, was really on target, on time. Great pocket mechanics, I thought, moving, shifting around the pocket, using his legs more. And so I think this, moving forward, this could be really big for the offense and really build some confidence for Will Levis heading into the next season. Now, he's got to go out and do it.
Right.
But this seems like a building block moment for him these past two games together. And let's see if they – now you're going heading into a stretch where outside of Tennessee, every defense remaining on the schedule ranks 90th or worst in yards per play allowed for Kentucky. So they're going to have some advantages here, a chance to put up some big numbers. And I think it's a big opportunity for Will Levis and this offense to build some really positivity and some momentum.
Yeah, and I wish that we could have a better measuring stick for Mississippi State. We'll get into that more next week, but you're going, the previous two games were Alabama and Vanderbilt, you know. Hard to get a good measuring stick for against either of those teams.
Everything else has been close games. LSU, close game. They probably should have won. NC State, a close game. If you dig into that, they probably should have lost.
Should have lost Louisiana Tech.
Louisiana Tech got down early. Probably should have lost. At Memphis, they should have won.
Mm-hmm.
They got screwed by the officials, and that was a weird game that Memphis won. And so that's really what they are. Close team. Like, they've been kind of the opposite of Kentucky. Kentucky's been executed and won all their close games. Mississippi State hasn't. So, really, I mean, it seems like on paper it's going to be a game that could be close. But Mississippi State, like, if you look at them now, their defense is hanging their hat on the run defense. But both A&M – and A&M's another close game they won. A&M and Bama both were able to run the ball on them. And so I think that's positive for Kentucky. Get that run game going a bit. Team it up with Levis passing against what seems to be a spotty pass defense. It could be some nice things for the offense, but we got a long time till that happens.
Yeah, no, we do. It's going to be a night game in Starkville under the lights, but we don't got to worry about those damn cowbells for another week. We have an open Saturday, a bye week, a good time. Hey, Lucky, you ever heard this? But the bye week's coming at the right time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is a good time bye week. I will have to say that. I think they timed that up.
I just love
that
it's like, because it's always in the middle of the season.
Oh, no, that's the can saying, yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly. You had Isaiah Cummings get a little banged up. A good thing is, I don't think it's anything major. You get another week for Ali to potentially come back. But mostly just like the Dean, you know, Stoops kind of alluded to Rodriguez being kind of dinged up against Georgia some. Like, just to give these guys a chance to exhale. They're only going to practice 3 days. A lot of opportunity. This is a time for maybe some young wide receivers who, you know, you've been kind of waiting. You've given the older guys chances. Maybe it's the time that you see if anybody steps up this week, a Chris Lewis or a Magwood or something like that. So, you know, we'll see. I'm still not confident that one of them to come out and be a playmaker next week. But this is where the young guys get a time to shine and practice, get a chance to run some quality reps instead of just being relegated to scout team or something like that. So I think that's something they'll look at this week. I think, you know, as much as I like Ruffalo and he's accurate,
that's
as
the
hell,
big one to me.
Yeah. Like he's had four kicks blocked, you know?
Yeah. And I think you could make the argument that most of those weren't his fault.
Right.
But that ball just, it's coming out low. And I just, I mean, you're not going to see Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Devontae Wyatt, you know, really triple team a gap.
Right.
Like that. But I just, I don't know. Maybe this, you know, Poor's obviously got a big leg. You know, we'll, if they're going to make a change, it's now seems like the time to do it. So that, and, you know, this is Ruffalo's last year. He's a super senior. Can't go on having all these kicks blocked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to start thinking about who's the kick. You know, you got Jackson Smith coming in, obviously, but Poor's probably going to want that job. And if he doesn't get it, he might want to transfer kind of thing. So,
giving him a shot,
see what he has. Yeah. So I think that that's for sure one. I think Quandre Mosley at corner, I think he's been Kentucky. You can make an argument he's been the best corner Kentucky has. It might be time to let him start and just get him majority of reps there at the Phil corner spot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe right. Start rotating Wallace in more if he starts coming on. And if you wanted to get another guy there at boundary tackle, you know, if you wanted to get Rogers and Hayes some work,
yeah,
there potentially this is a time to do it.
Shout out to Abule, too, for really stepping
up. He held it. That was probably the best game he played all year.
Yeah, yeah, in a very difficult situation. So glad to see him step up. But you're right, between him, Ribka, you know, I don't know how much they'd get him involved. I was shocked that Ribka and Oxendon are about the same. They do not look like they're close to the same size. I guess because Ribka's like about 6'3", 6'4". He's longer. But they're listed at like the same weight on the roster.
Yeah, Ribka's leaner. Ox is more stout.
He's more of an ox, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Ripka's going to be – where Pascal's playing right now, that'll be Ripka's spot next year. He'll be starting there at that field defensive end.
Yeah, but the thing that's nice about the bye week, too, Luckett, is that we get to pull out our Prize Picks app, load up, just absolutely load up, and have a day watching college football. 11 personnel, it's brought to you by Prize Picks. You download the app or visit PrizePicks.com and use the promo code personnel, get an instant 100% bonus on up to $100 of your first deposit. You simply pick a player, whether they're going to go over and under, you parlay that with a couple others, boom, bam, slam, bam, thank you, ma'am, and you make some money. It's going to be an exciting Saturday where we can dedicate it all to watching all the football at our disposal. And you don't have to just do it Saturday. You can do it Thursday night. I think there's 3 or 4 games Thursday night as well. In addition to the NFL games, you got all day Sunday to really catch up on football. So a great time to download the Prize Picks app. Use the code personnel and get you some free money to play around with during the bye week. Thanks to our friends at Prize Picks. Luckett, we listened to a lot of football over the weekend, and I'm curious, what was your favorite homer callers? Because on the SiriusXM app that you downloaded, you get almost all homer calls, and there were some doozies in there.
I like the Browns guy because he was just calling it like it was.
The thing about the Browns guy is he had the kind of professionalism and enthusiasm of like a Tom Leach. But then as soon as the play was over, he would just start, like, bashing Baker.
Well, that ain't going to cut it today. Yeah.
Making, like, subtle jabs at him. Like,
the Ole Miss guys were – God, they were terrible.
Oh, but they were awesome. Like, they were so bad. They were
– They wouldn't even call the Tennessee players by names. It was just quarterback scrambles, throws to the wide receiver, tackled by Jones. 7-yard game.
The best part, too, is I'm driving us back to where we were staying, the Airbnb where we were staying. And Luckett's just screaming during this, like, final 3 minutes. How much time's left? How much time's left in the back seat? They finally tell us. And what was great is hearing them narrate the call on the fourth down that got the fans all fired up to start throwing their garbage everywhere. Like, all three of the dudes had different opinions on what was going to happen. I don't know. Look at it now. And they like all stop to watch the replay and quit talking. It's just, oh man, it was entertainment at its finest.
Yeah. And then we get kind of settled in and we didn't even realize, like, you turn on TV and Lane Kiffin's getting hit with a golf ball. And
oh, when they said stuff. Trash, you thought it was like a one or
12 two. Bottles on the field or something. Yeah.
No, they those homers weren't exaggerating at all. The funniest of all the calls though was the Dolphins guys who weren't in London, so they're just calling it from the TV, And their play-by-play guy, he might have been the saddest play-by-play broadcaster. Just
I like the color guy goes, they called it the game the whole time, like not saying anything bad or anything like that. And then they go, after the game was over and they lost, went, well, that's embarrassing. That's a terrible loss.
And that's the game. The one dude could not have been more low-T. Like, he was definitely out of energy, just got the life sucked out of him. And I'd like to think we played a part of that, because we were listening to the Jags, flipped it over to the Dolphins, and then the Dolphins just completely tanked. And especially the field goals, and it looks like it's no good. Oh, wait, it hooked in. It's good.
The little had the little draw on it, yeah.
Oh, man, but Ole Miss, Tennessee. Is Greg Sankey still afraid of Philip Fulmer, Adam Luckett?
I wish Fulmer would have been there for that. That would have been made some good, high quality content. I just don't like, my thing is, obviously you have to find them or something, but what would Sankey, I like the old, you better try to find these guys or else. You better try to find these guys or else.
Oh, man.
I don't, what are they supposed to do? Like,
I wanted the game without fans. I wanted one game without fans.
Just yeah, that's really just, there's too much money to at stake for that.
Exactly, but that's what I really, because like that hurts more than anything. And
they got embarrassed. They had to apologize. I think that's, I think you're gonna. They probably didn't have a heavy enough police presence. Because I know at Kentucky student section, when I'm there, there is a heavy police presence there.
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever stuff, they get that pretty wrapped up pretty quickly. Seemed like there probably wasn't a heavy security enforcement.
Well, there. I do think it's also like, it's very funny too to watch Tennessee fans just try to blame the students, or, you know, they just don't want to blame everybody that's but themselves. That's the part that's like.
The students probably started that, but there was a lot like.
It was everywhere. And even if the students got kicked out, they're still throwing trash at Lane as he's walking off the field.
And if you listen to any Tennessee person, it's a lot of built up aggression. I mean, it's 15 years of stinking. And you're not going to sit here and tell me, like, Kentucky being 6-0 playing Georgia in a big game that day, that probably pissed them off before the game.
Mm-hmm.
At all the tailgates, the 3:30 game, they had to watch Kentucky. Yep. They're about Kentucky's on game day. I'm sure that didn't make them too happy. They go out, Lane's there, and Lane's playing the ultimate heel. And so the more the game goes on, that's pissing them off even more. And just how it played out, they got a couple tough calls and how it ended. And then it makes it even worse that they get the ball back, have a chance to score. Their quarterback gets hurt.
Joe
Milton, bless his heart.
You know what? He almost threw the game-winning touchdown, though, man. That was a heck of a throw.
I'm mesmerized every time I watch him because he makes some throws. Well, he's leaving the pocket for no reason. Like, they're rushing three, and he's dancing it back there in the pocket. And I'm like, dude, just chill out. You can make a throw from platform. You don't need to get off platform. Just stay in there, and you got vision. Instead of pulling your head, running around, and then you lose sight of what's going on. Man. But, yeah, he throws a dart, almost caught, and then the next down he leaves the pocket for no reason. You know you got to have to throw in the end zone. He starts scrambling. He gets his eyes off. So he can't see anything. It seemed like all the receivers were to the right, and he rolls left. And so there's no real way to go. And then he still has room to settle and maybe throw just a prayer, and he
at least
off.
Chuck it up. Like, you know, like
I swear, Nick, when he took off, I said he's going to throw this past the line of scrimmage, and they're probably going to catch it, but it's going to be, you know, a penalty.
Oh, man.
But, you know. So hopefully Hooker's okay for them, but yeah, it just made it worse.
Really want the Joe Milton experience at Kroger Field, though. I want the Joe Milton experience so badly.
Well, we don't know. Hypo is weird with injuries. Like, he's saying they're all day to day, but that could mean anything.
Yeah.
We won't find out the injuries until like Friday before the Alabama game this week, what they really are probably. So there's a lot, and they have a bye after this week before they come to Kentucky. So it's a long time. So we'll see. But injuries are starting to pile up there. In Tennessee, man, I credit Heupel. He's got them playing really, really hard. I think their defensive coordinator, Tim Banks, has been as good as any coordinator in the league this year, what he's been able to put together with that unit. But they're at a numbers disadvantage. And eventually they're going to hit a wall eventually. They haven't had a stinker yet, and they're kind of in a roster situation where they could have a couple. So we'll see what happens here. But that smell to me, that smells like a team like playing hard as heck. They're probably going to go and take a beating here this weekend in Tuscaloosa. They're going to hit the bye, and I'm not sure how much juice they're going to have to come on the road right there after the bye week if they're really banged up. So I could see that playing out where Kentucky has a chance to really kind of get them in a buzzsaw moment, which would be awesome for Kentucky. Leads me to my next question. What is – we wake up on Thanksgiving Sunday, what is Kentucky's record?
The Mississippi State game does worry me quite a bit. But, man, I really
– they're due to win down there. I mean, this is a spot where they need to win off the bye. It's a toss-up game. The game could go either way, but, like, you got to win one of these eventually.
There's part of me, Luckett, where my heart is saying, Nick, don't do this to yourself, because you've known that. You've been to Starkville. It's terrible. Kentucky has come out flat after bye weeks. But they're 4-1 out of them in recent years. Now, some of those games have been Vandy, and I think the only
– it's all been Vandy and Mississippi State, then one was Arkansas.
Yeah. But if you can run the ball and get healthy Rodriguez, Smoke, McClain, like, it makes it hard for that air raid. And look what Kentucky did to the air raid last year. I know Will Rogers is no KJ Costello. It's a different football team.
Yeah. And the thing with Mississippi State, they don't get big plays. Rogers is down like nearly at – that 6-something yards per attempt. If you look at the big play numbers, they're just per – if you look at the percentages per the amount of snaps they're running, they don't get a lot of big plays. So, it's a lot of dink and dunk. So, for Kentucky, you're going to be in third downs in this game. It's going to be getting off the field on third down on defense. And then if you can establish that run on offense, I think you can have a pretty good big day there in Starkville.
Man, it really should be 10-1 waking up Thanksgiving Saturday. And the thing that I like about that Thanksgiving Saturday too is that – even if you are a big favorite and you know how rivalry games get weird and stuff like that, Kentucky does just like to bully ACC teams.
Well, you have kind of a 75% bye that week before playing New Mexico State at home.
Right.
I think New Mexico State plays Alabama the week before you. So they're going to beat up to hell.
Right.
You know, and they're going to come in there and try not to
just get out of there.
I'm saying 10-2 because I think Mississippi State, Tennessee, those spreads are all going to be within 3 points one way or the other. And that Louisville spread's probably going to be within 7 points on the road. That's three pretty close toss-up games. I don't think – in the way Kentucky's won a bunch of close games already, they're kind of due to lose one of those. I think they can win two of them.
Well, which one are they most due to lose? So, if they're due to win in Starkville, but they're also due to lose a toss-up, which toss-up do they lose?
I would say – they lose in Starkville would be my pick. Off the bye, it's a big game for Mississippi State at home. Mississippi State hasn't been good at home. I would say Mississippi State. I don't think Kentucky's going to lose to Tennessee because I think that's a good spot for Kentucky.
The night part of Starkville just
– but it's easy to talk yourself into 11-1. I mean, it really is. I think the Louisville game is maybe going to be a little more trickier than people – going to want to realize, especially if Louisville can hit on some big plays. But I do love that they get the New Mexico State game right before that. And Louisville gets a long week because they play Duke the Thursday before that.
God, what a terrible game that nobody's going to want to watch.
And so, I mean, we'll see. But it's easy to talk yourself into the 11-1. I think it's going to be 10-2. But that's what I would – if you made me – put a wager down, I would take 10-2 just because I feel like they're going to stumble at one of those three. But it's easy. I think it's very easy to talk yourself, especially if they win on the 30th there in Starkville.
10-2 would be the most.
You got to think of all the road places Stoops has won. Florida, South Carolina multiple times, Vanderbilt multiple times, knocked the Tennessee monkey off their back last year. Louisville has won there multiple times. So you talk about you have 7 or 8 opponents the same every year. You've got Missouri multiple times. everyone in the East, they've won except Georgia, which has just been, since Stoops has got it rolling in 2016, Georgia has been the top 10 team. So that's understandable to not be able to knock off a top 10 team on the road. But the one, the weird one that they haven't gotten is Mississippi State.
Yeah. Kentucky's won more recently in Athens than Starkville. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be saying that a lot over the next 2 weeks.
This is the, you know, you got to get that one eventually. And this feels like a good year to get it. Mike Leach has not been good at home, 2-7 against the spread.
Ew.
In home games since arriving in Starkville. It's going to be, like I said, I mean, I don't know. A lot of it's going to depend on how good Vanderbilt looks or how good Mississippi State looks this weekend. But that line's going to be, I think, 2.5 one way or the other, or lower on one side. I'm not sure who will be favored, but it'll be somewhere in that window.
Could end up around a pick 'em. Yeah.
So, it's going to be a total toss-up game. And, I mean, we'll see. If Kentucky goes down there and plays well, they'll win. But they haven't played well there. And you've even looked at the last time they won, 08 was an ugly win. Like, it's – and I don't ever remember them playing well down there. You know, we'll have to see when we
get there. Except that first one, when the onside kick got overturned and Stoops was about to rip their tooth head off. Yes,
2013, they played well. They almost stole a win there, which would have been huge for early in the Stoops tenure. But ever since then, like 15, they got blown out. 17, they got their doors blown off. 19, they were
hurt. All right, we don't need to relive it. Damn it, Luckett. Those games sucked, okay? We don't need to relive the Garrett Schrader and shredding Kentucky.
And in these games, they've never really been able to score down there. Now you got – it's a good opportunity for Cohen.
16.
The 3-3-5 stack weird defense gave them – a ton of issues last year, even in a blowout win. Can Cohen figure those out? And can you go down there and score 34 points? And even if Mississippi State has some success on offense, you can breathe easy because you're often scoring over 30 and you'll be able to control the game. But we got it next week to talk about that. But that's really – that's the interesting part. Can Kentucky get to 11-1? I mean, that'd be crazy. And then we can have playoff talk.
Either way,
can you imagine playoff talk going at 10? Can you imagine just 10-1 going to that Louisville game?
It is so funny, like the playoff talk, like how much you rail against it, and yet here you are. I love it.
I know. I've been thinking about that too. Because
I'm
telling you all right now, I don't think Kentucky will get in if they're 10-1 or 11-1. I think they're going to rail on them for the schedule, and it's going to cause people are going to be pissed around here because it's. Any other SEC team, just about, it's not an issue. But I'm telling you, it's because you're going to look up the schedule and Kentucky's going to have a lot of wins over like 7-5 teams. And then they play one good team and they lost by 17. That's what the Kentucky's going to have to hear about. What if
that one good team is the best team in college football? So,
yeah.
We'll see. We still got some time to figure it out. We're going to watch.
But it's fine with me. Send us a Sugar Bowl.
Yeah. Seriously, come on. Let's do it. Let's have a grand old time. Luckett, I know you're excited for high-profile games this weekend, like Syracuse, Virginia Tech, and Kent State, Ohio.
You know, these are always the slates, though, we complain about, but there's – I have a sneaky feeling some crazy stuff could happen this weekend.
Ooh, Cincinnati at Navy? Is this where Cincinnati slips up?
I don't think so, but that's a Navy that snakes. Spread caught my eye.
Yep.
You know Cincinnati hates UCF. They just beat the doors off them. Now they have to go on the road to sleepy old Annapolis for a noon kickoff to play the option. Navy's been good at home. They covered against SMU, covered upset UCF.
LSU Ole Miss is going to be the most fun game of the day. That one is most likely to go bonkers. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Now,
Nevada, Fresno State this weekend, Nick. Big game, man. In the Mountain West.
Huge game. A 7 p.m.er, too. 7 p.m.er.
No after dark games. There's a lot of games on Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, I'm not really sure why. Yeah.
But so we don't get an after dark window, you know. It's kind of other than Hawaii playing at midnight, it's not on regular TV.
Very much looking forward to Purdue can be first in the Big Ten West if they beat Wisconsin today or Saturday.
I hate to tell you, but I'm probably going to be on Wisconsin this week. It's a classic fade.
Oh, yeah. Letdown spot.
And it seems like I need to look up the numbers, but it seems like Wisconsin's been a tough matchup for them, where Iowa's been a great.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right. Even though they play similar styles, they've not done well against Wisconsin in recent years. So
right. So I think that's they're in the top 25. It just seems like a perfect moment. Quietly, Wisconsin has played pretty well the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
The total's only 40 in that. God, that feels like an over.
I don't know. The Purdue defense, pretty good.
Yeah, but if you get – yeah, I guess you're right. You would need both teams in the 20s probably to get that.
Which I don't
Purdue's had some moments where they couldn't score this year.
No, definitely.
Clemson is a dog at Pitt.
Yeah, that line completely flipped, too. Flipped on its head. So,
I don't know what the deal is there. Kenny Pickett's making a big Heisman push.
I can't even find a money line pick lucky because all these games are
–
as much as we've talked about them being bad, there's not really big spreads, you know. Well,
you get some brand names that are dogs this week. Like Oregon's a small dog on the road. Clemson's a small dog on the road. LSU's a dog on the road. Like, you've got some brand names here that you could, that you don't ever get points with hardly. And you're catching points this week. So if you wanted to jump, like, this is an opportunity where if you want it, you got to take it.
Going to be weird to see game day at UCLA. Just the timing of it. Like, do they show up? I mean,
yeah, they don't care.
Right. That's going
to
be.
Yeah. Mine, Nick, I'm going to Louisville, BC +6, plus 200 on the money line. They've been really good on the road with Halfley. Last week stunk, but if you kind of look at it, turnovers had a big part of it. Don't really trust Louisville.
No, not at all.
So give me, I mean, yeah, it was slim pickings this week. I'll take the Eagles plus 200 to beat Louisville.
Yeah, go on, Halfley. You're a big Halfley guy. You've been a big Halfley guy for a long time.
Back my guys. Like, back your dudes a week like this. Like, whatever you felt in the preseason, like, this is the week to just kind of double down on that. If you got a team in a spot that you like, just go ahead and take them and roll the dice, see what happens.
Roll the dice, see what happens. I mean, I'm trying to find anything here.
You got Charlotte plus 7.
Wait. Oklahoma State's a 7-point dog. And they're undefeated at Iowa State. That's a stinky line.
Yeah. If you kind of look at – well, Oklahoma State's offense kind of stinks.
Right.
But if you look at Iowa State's, like, yards per play numbers, they're, like, top 10 yards per play offense, like, top 10 yards per play defense. So,
no, you know what I'm going to do, Luckett? I'm riding LSU and Coach O. Interim O is back. Ole Miss is really fortunate to have won the last two games. I mean, they've all come down to the final play. That kind of Lane's skidding by on the hair of his ass. So, you know,
Corral's banged up.
Yeah.
LSU's going to be in the Luckett's locks this week.
Yeah. Lock it up.
I don't know if it'll be one of my best three picks, but they'll
LSU.
Be in there.
I'm also going to take a lot of chili. I'm probably going to eat something like 17 different chilies on Saturday. Very excited to enjoy chilies and beers outside. Yeah. Big outdoor TV watching kind of day. You know,
if you think Navy can hang, Nick, they're plus 1,500 on the money line.
Yeah, they ain't beating Cincinnati, though. That's like actually winning a game.
I'm just saying that's a pretty big spread there. 15 plus 1,500 would be a nice payday.
It would be. Oh, man, it really would be. Well, look at this has been fun. Now we need to go enjoy some more bye week. We need to bye. But it was a blast down in Athens. Appreciated seeing a lot of listeners out there. It was a great time, man. That atmosphere pregame, like it felt like Kentucky belonged in that big time college atmosphere. And the amount of trash that Georgia fans talk, you could tell they could smell that the cats are getting close.
The burn the ships moments were. They were up there all the time in like football tailgate moments. That stuff was pretty.
Oh, man. It was hilarious.
It was pretty cool. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Great time. We were happy to be down there. We were happy to see all of you. And now we're happy to get a little bit of a break, but we hope you've enjoyed this edition of 11 Personnels. Download Prize Pick, use the code Personnel, and have yourself a weekend, folks. We'll be back here next week to get you ready for the Cats and the Bulldogs from Mississippi State. Until then, go Cats, go Kroger-ing.